Good morning. As we were gathered here together to worship, let us quiet our hearts and our minds and our cell phones in preparation.
Is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Still the
Good morning, Fair Plain Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome also to those joining us on live stream or CD this morning. We're glad that you're with us in spirit. If you can join us in person, we'd be delighted to welcome you. This month, the community dinner falls on the day before Thanksgiving. We have done a Thanksgiving, what? Did I say that? In November, the community dinner falls on the day before it's Thanksgiving, not Christmas, right? We've done a Thanksgiving themed pre-Thanksgiving community dinner in the past with great turnout, but we need to know who might be interested in helping prep and or serve and or clean up, and even who will even be here on the day before Thanksgiving. We need to know if people can do it, and we need to know as soon as possible, preferably today, preferably right now. Can I get a show of hands? If you are able and interested in helping serve the pre-Thanksgiving community dinner, I see three hands, four, five. Was that a half hand, John? Five, I see that hand. I feel like I'm a revival preacher. Anyone else while we tarry a moment? So we've got five. Is that enough? Five. That's enough? Okay. Great. Do we need to announce anything else then about that, or should we tell them later?
No, but everybody's got a show because fewer than that won't work.
Everybody who raised their hand has to come, so you sure? Okay. Sunday school today, we're doing another in our series, Love Your Blank Neighbor, filling in the blanks. This week, the blank is Love Your Neighbor with Dementia or Caregiver Neighbor, and Pete Wendell has graciously agreed to lead that. And to be honest, I had no idea how qualified he was. Every slide, I was having information overload. It was amazing. I felt like I was drinking out of the fire hydrant. Pete has such a wealth of knowledge, and if you come, you will not be disappointed. Other announcements. Linda. Oh, wait, hang on. Where are those portable mics?
Lifeline screening is back here at our church on October 24th. I do have free coupons towards the testing, the complimentary testing. You do have to register, so if you're interested, see me after worship, and you can take another flyer down in the courtyard so you know which website you need to go on to register. Thank you.
All right. Any other announcements? All right. I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi.
I thought you were putting that back.
I just wanted to say that we're doing very well on the capital campaign or the building campaign. And you can see there's great progress being made. All kinds of things are happening. I think the boiler is in.
It is.
Yes, now.
That's what they were doing all weekend.
Yeah,
or
right.
All week.
Okay. So we have parking lot boiler. The fascist office are almost there, so we're doing great. We've also done quite well on the participation, but we're not quite there yet. We still need like 40,000. I don't know. Lots of things we could, yeah, right. Anyway, we've done very well, and you have responded well. But if you haven't yet, please try to get your pledge and or your one-time contribution or your pledge over 3 years or however you'd like to do it. We'd like those in by next Sunday so we know how much to expect. And we're particularly hopeful that everyone will contribute something, whatever you can give, even if it's just a dollar, even if it's just $10. Now I feel like I'm the NPR. whatever you can give, we will welcome it because we'd like everyone to be part of preparing to do God's new thing here. Is that what we, yeah. Here at Fairplane, and we're all on board with that, and this is one way that you can show that you're a part of that. You're a part of the hope and the vision. And so if we could have your pledge or your donation by next Sunday, that would be great.
Thanks, Leslie.
You are not hallucinating. Chris is here. He's making a cameo appearance. He and Sandy drove to Texas in one car, and the Volkswagen Bug has been parked at our house, so he had to fly home to get his car. And he arranged to do it the weekend that the praise band was playing. Was that perfect or what? So we're glad to have him with us this time. I told him I don't think it's really hit me that they've moved to Texas yet. And then also on the panel this morning, we have Ivan, who is a friend of Claudio's and has graciously... and he is a graduate student at Andrews University in piano performance.
It was about, what time? About 9:28, we told him to only play until 9:30, and about 9:29 and a half, I was praying that he would ignore that. And we're grateful that he did. Any other announcements? Nobody? Okay. Then please join Larry in the call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of God's name. Give to God glorious praise.
Bless our God, O peoples.
Let the sound of God's praise be heard.
We went through fire and through water. Another prayer of adoration. How awesome are your deeds, O God. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. You turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. We rejoice in you, who rule by your might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Amen. Please stand and join in singing hymn number 341, Blessed Assurance.
Of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please join me in the call to confession. Are we not all exiles?
Exiles from home, exiles from loved ones.
Exiles from those we have left.
And from those who have left us.
And the prayer of confession, O God, when we have found ourselves in exile, we have been tempted to forever succumb to despair, but you have called us in our exile to take one step at a time. Lift us up, gracious God, and carry us gently on. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the assurance of pardon. Take the hand of God before you and arise. Take a step, then another. It is not your duty to complete the work, but neither are you at liberty to neglect it. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are reconciled to God, and we are reconciled to one another. Amen.
Since we're reconciled to God and to one another, let us share Christ's peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share Christ's peace with those around you.
Since we have been reconciled to God and to one another and shared Christ's peace, let us respond by giving our tithes and offering.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether. down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. You see that paper's fire, adore you. All for my life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. For love's sake, became poor. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I've never known how much it see my sin upon that cross, and I never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am.
Dedication. Dear God, we give you thanks with grateful hearts, for it is only in you that we live and move and have our being. We return the portion for your work, symbolizing our very selves, which are also yours, with all we have. Amen. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 75 of the New Testament. Listen for the Gospel of the Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 leopards approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But where are the other 9? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 and verses 4 through 7. This is on page 687 of the left-hand side of your pew Bibles. The numbers start over in the New Testament. Listen for the word of the Lord. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles. to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken from into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Our God, we've gathered in your presence as exiles today, exiles from one thing or another that we've lost. So please open our hearts this morning to receive the word you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My sermon this morning is titled Letters to the Exiles, but before we go into it, I have an exegetical tool I'd like to give you. Exegesis is the process of digging into the scripture to see what's below the surface, what's there. One of the tools that I've found the past few weeks, I've just started using this. You know when you read a text and you know what it means? You've been there? You read it, you're reading your Bible, and you go, okay, I know what this part means, and you just sort of mentally skip it. That's just me? Okay, so you just sort of mentally skip it. For example, if you were to say, like, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you go, okay, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what it's about. That's all that it's about. And you just sort of, it's gone. One of the things that I've taken to doing is I'll write down what I think it's about. And then I'll ignore it and sort of go in and see if anything else stands out and sort of sticks out and starts glowing for me. Not literally glowing, but just sort of, you go, okay, I see what's going on. I see something else in this. It helps you see something else. Now to the sermon. I'm familiar with this passage, Jeremiah 29, and I know what it's about. It's about seek the welfare of the city that you've been. It's seek the welfare of the city. That's it. It's pretty much what it's about. It's a bloom where you're planted text, and that's all it is. So naturally, I wrote it down, blurted out, and gave it a second look. Because now I know what it's about. I can set aside what I know that it's about. And the word exiles started sticking out for some reason. I started thinking about exiles and how... What does exiles mean? What are these exiles? What's an exile? I looked it up in Merriam-Webster. It's the state or period of forced absence from one's country or home. That's definitely what's happening with the people of God. They've been hauled off to Babylon. They're singing psalms of lament, like the one we looked at last week, Psalm 137. I want to define it as that feeling of being far away from home, unable to return, by that great scholar David Shell. But there's different kinds of exile, I think. Not just being hauled away to Babylon, but we've all had that feeling. Like the big one is the feeling of exile from places where you've left, right? This is a picture of one of my favorite places on earth, Jamonville. In 2009, I went there. I didn't have a whole bunch of friends, hardly any, but I went there and I made a bunch of friends, and it sort of became a second home for me. And then the summer was over, and I went from southwestern Pennsylvania to Huntington, Indiana, where I knew literally no one. I'd never been to Indiana except to visit the school, and it felt like a kind of exile, even though it was self-imposed. I decided that I wanted to go to college, but it felt like exile to me. So that's one kind of exile that we can have, where we've chosen or haven't chosen, however it may be, to leave our home, a physical place, and go somewhere else. Another option is an exile from people. These were some of the people that I met at camp that first summer. Wonderful people, much younger. That's me over there. In a Michigan sweater, no less. I'd never been to Michigan. I just had the sweater. But then when I went to college, I was missing all of these people, so I felt like I was being exiled from them in a way. And it was a sense of being away. But there's also an exile where people leave. And what do we have for that? Oh, yeah. People leave for all kinds of reasons. They might want to travel, or maybe they got a new job. Could be that they haven't physically left, but there's sort of been a spiritual leaving in a, well, you know how politics get. Sometimes you just grow apart because you get these different ideological commitments and it gets really strong and violent and you sort of feel exiled from people, or that you've exiled them from yourself. And of course, death, people die, and you know, you haven't literally been hauled off to a foreign land, but you still have that feeling from Psalm 137 where when they say, "Where the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion," or maybe we could say when we remembered that person. And even if you haven't gone anywhere, there's still this feeling of being in a place of exile. Last but not least, at least in my tracking, I'm sure there's other kinds of exile. These are just the big ones that I could think of. They leave. The places leave. You ever try to go home? You can't go home again. So the even though the place is still there, it's not there anymore. Or it's physically not there, like Jerusalem being burned to the ground. That's not a rendering of ancient Jerusalem, by the way. The place could be gone, or like that song goes about Muhlenberg County, Mr. Peabody's coal train hauled the mountain away. That sense that the place is no longer there. So there's all these different kinds of exiles and ways that most of us, if not all of us, have been hauled off into one kind of exile or another, either by ourselves, by someone else. All kinds of ways that we've been exiled. So what do you do when you're in exile? Well, first you grieve and you mourn. You sit down and weep at the rivers of Babylon when you remember Zion, when you remember that place, a real place, a place in your heart that's gone and that you can't get back to no matter how much you want to. But what do you do next? You take one step and then another. This beautiful text, Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah tells them, build houses, live in them. And it's really, really hard to build a house in Babylon. It's really hard to live in this place of exile, to not just be wishing for Zion, but that's not to say that you forget Zion, that you forget the people or places that you've lost. But of course not. If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill, may my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. You don't have to forget Jerusalem, but you build houses and live in them. You take one step at a time. You don't have to fix everything. You don't have to make everything good. You don't have to pretend everything's fine. But there's this story that I heard a few years ago in seminary. One of the professors talked about how he'd learned to use a straight razor. And apparently it was, at least people in my generation, I have an electric razor. I go, you know, used it this morning. Didn't do the greatest job, but this guy's got a straight razor, and he's learned how to use it, and it's not the easiest skill to pick up, I guess. And he's learned how to use it, but then one day, he talked about his fiance died. And he didn't use this language, but he's been exiled.
But he knew how to, he hopped in the shower and started shaving. And all of a sudden he realized that he was doing this. This was a thing that he still knew how to do. He still knew how to just shave, how to do this business. It was difficult, but how to do the business of living. You know, he's learned how to do it, and he's doing it. He's putting one foot in front of the other, even here in this land where he's been exiled from someone that he loves. Just one thing at a time, one step at a time. And it reminded me again of that line from the Mishnah that says, you're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. And I remember last week, DJ talking to us about in Sunday school, about the work of grieving, the work of grieving someone we've lost or something we've lost, that we do have to go through that. And in that time, we realize that we have to cook and we have to do all these other day-to-day things. And I think to some extent, that's what Jeremiah is talking about. Build houses, live in them. Take wives, have sons, daughters. Take wives for your sons. You just do the business of living. And then this last piece, that seek the good of the city. And this isn't like, maybe you can't do that right away, because if you've been hauled off into this horrible place of loss and being without someone, it's hard. It's really hard to try to make the place better. Not just for yourself, but for other people. You're seeking the good of the city, working for good, not just for yourself, but for those around you, maybe other people who are maybe not in your exact same exile, but similar exiles, that working to help and serve and love others. So, what do you do in exile? You grieve and you mourn what you lost. And then you do the business of life. Maybe while you're grieving and mourning and mourning your loss, and you seek the good of the city, even if maybe you're still singing by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Let's pray. God, help us to find our way up off our butts onto which we've fallen. Lift us up and hold our hands as we struggle to put one foot in front of another in these exiles that we found ourselves in. And show us how we can seek the good of the city, of the place where we've been exiled to, and that it will prosper and that with it we will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I invite you to stand in hymn number 436, We Are Your People. Do we need to play that through once? Yes. Yes, okay.
God of trumpets.
tradition, help us to see in all life's changing where you are leading, where our best first should be. Join in community, breaking your bread. If we discover gifts in each other, we'll lead to be and be blessed. Lord, as we minister in different ways, in all we're doing, show that you're living, meeting your love with me.
Song. Sorry, my mic was off. We've had this hymn book for 29 years and never sang that song. We moved to the part of our service where we share joys and concerns. What joys and concerns do you bring, and where is the microphone with which you can bring them? I don't need it. Jenna.
My mother-in-law, who's 91, fell on either Thursday night or Friday morning, and she broke ribs and is in the hospital. We'll probably be heading to rehab in the next few days. Anyway, prayers for her, please.
Yeah. Kurds? Oh. Leslie had something. You mentioned it to me.
I've been thinking all week about the Kurds and what's going on over there with Turkey. You know, we have the Khalistans who have been in that area and ministering for all these years, and they've been here to speak with us about the Kurds. And now the Kurds are under terrible attack. And I would just seek prayers for them and all the people over there that are under attack by Turkey right now.
Thanks, Leslie. Jack.
Ibrahim Parlak, who is a Kurd, you may not know, but he owns Cafe Gulistan and has been in the country for about 20 years and living, dancing with the government, is having a candlelight service Monday night at 6 o'clock at the cafe.
Candlelight service Monday night. What's the name of the cafe again?
Cafe
Gulistan.
Gulistan.
It's in Bridgman? Harvard. Okay.
It's cafe Gulistan in
Harvard.
Harvard? Is that a real place?
Yep.
Not much of one, but there.
How do you spell that?
H-A-R-B-E-R-T.
That's how I spelled it.
Oh, good. Anybody else?
Kristen and I have a joy. I don't need the microphone. I have one.
Oh, right.
we are still having some challenges with buying a house. The title's still working its way through, but the seller has agreed to rent the house that we're buying to us for about a month while they sort out the title things, and to credit the rent that we pay toward our toward the purchase price of the house, they're also buying us appliances. Yeah, so we're pretty excited. The mortgage starts on Monday, and moving starts Monday a little bit. So that'll be fun. any other joys or concerns we bring before God? Then let's pray. God, we thank you for the good things that you've given us, for all the great things that you've given us, especially this house that Kristen and I are in the process of moving to. We do have some concerns, some things that are weighing on our hearts, and we lift up Jenna's mother-in-law as she's recovering and hopefully going to rehab and then returning. We pray also for the Kurds as they're being bombed by Turkey at this moment. We don't know what to pray, so we ask that you will guide our prayers. We ask that you will be at work in the hearts of the people who are doing violence, that they will cease from doing violence, and the hearts of those who could stop the violence, that they will do what they can. And for those here in this area, even who are struggling with the knowledge that their people are being attacked, God, please hold us in all of this. We know that you hear our prayers and that you care for us and for those people and places that we care about. Please be with us in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and join in hymn number 276, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou from ever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with our nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, no mercies I see. And hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. For sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength today and bright. saints are mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by body, the mercy shall see. And hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
After the service, I invite everyone to down to the courtyard for our coffee hour, which is more of a half hour. And then back up into this room for Sunday school. Pete needs a PowerPoint, and this is where we have it. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, do the work of living and live, seek the welfare of the city, for when it prospers, you will prosper. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all from this day forward and forevermore. Go in peace.
Go now in peace. Never be afraid. God will go with you each hour of every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do.